You're listening to a pre-recorded edition of KYUK's Talk Line. Do not attempt to call in with comments or questions. Again, this is a pre-recorded program. Join Talk Line live on Friday from 10 to 11 a.m. on 640 a.m. KYUK. And now, here's your host.
Express yourself.
Hi, good morning. Good morning, YK Delta and beyond. This is Diane McGachran and Joe Moses.
Joe Moses Jr.
And we're here for another edition of Talk Line.
Yes.
This morning.
Friday morning Talk Line, where the show is driven by you, the callers. And yes, we'd love to hear what you have to say.
You can email us, and you can call, you can be anonymous.
Yep, you sure can. The numbers here are fine.
This is a pre-recorded edition of Talk Line. Calls are not being accepted at this time. Join Talk Line live Fridays at 10 a.m.
8954, or you could always email us at radio@kyk.org. Guess who's our first caller?
Oh, John Nick. He spent weeks getting himself back on track.
Okay.
Hi, John.
Hi, you guys.
Good morning.
Oh, boy, I said the same thing to the lady that answered. I said, oh, boy, she's manning the phone. Made her laugh and stuff.
Awesome. Yes.
Yeah, that's cool. Anyway, I'm going to talk to Joe and Diane. Did you guys... Joe, especially, did you see anything indifferent on the voting pamphlet? You were observing it really good.
I really didn't pay attention, other than see who was running and casted my votes.
No proxy contest. They're including money.
Oh.
They depleted all that. I think going 5,000 every year. 10 people are getting thousands of dollars, and I think that was just to entice the voters. To get them to vote. Now I'm thinking that they have so many employees under Jalista that they can per capita by having their quota right there under their employees signing their signature and voting. They don't need to come here to Bethel and have their local shareholders put in their votes. They probably have enough employees to accumulate their quorum there. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I heard they're going to open office here. They're moving to Bethel.
Well, till the time comes, I'm questioning their ability to on the voting procedure now, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my opinion. I have a right to that.
Oh, absolutely. Maybe Tom's listening. Maybe he could respond to your call.
And another thing, Sea Alaska, I was reading their article. They're going through the same dilemma that Jalista first started on the discretionary voting system. Their terms are stuck in there. They have them where they're solid, where the shareholders are trying to get out of that so that they can move on and have different people on the board instead of having the same old people on there like Jalista did, you know,
mm-hmm.
under their discretionary. That discretionary is unfair. I don't like it. I never have. It's leaving the corporation's directors and all their people responsible for voting who they want, not what we want. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
There's a difference between that, and I can understand Sea Alaska's dilemma. They should go look into how people change the system here and try to do the same on their part. And, you know, it's getting corrupt. So that's the way all I can say about it.
Well, I've been saying that for a long time.
I know. I'm following your echoes now. Anyway, I had... That's what I want to disclose on that. So, anyway, you guys have a good week, and good to see the rain again because the land needs moisture. It's probably thirsty. And they'll cut down the fire hazard and feed the water, the plants, the water that they need nutrients in order to have berries and all that. Good to see that. So you guys have a good weekend. Please wear your life jacket and don't drink and drive and be careful, today might be slippery on the roads.
Hey, John, what do you think about this closure they're having? And I understand they had a meeting, and they're going to probably open it up on Sunday.
What's that?
Fishing.
Oh, it's about time. It's about time. Pretty soon, them King Sam, the salmon, Chinook, are going to start discoloring a little bit now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, like we said, we were saying it had an early breakup. So I don't know how it affects the fish also. It might affect them some way.
Yeah.
But, pretty soon they should be, you know, they start discoloring a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, they're good eating it, and I'm glad they're going to finally open. We're going to have to see how the. I hope they're doing their test fisheries in the right spots, too.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think they're going to use, if they have an opening, they're going to use that as also a way to get the numbers.
Yeah.
They want people to keep track of
the catch. Yeah, you know, we're all responsible for our own casting. We should accumulate that and let Fish and Game know that so we can find out the true escaping plan and how
right.
much getting
right.
caught and how much is leaving.
Yeah.
So that's a good idea.
Okay.
I better let someone else get on there.
Okay. Well, good to hear from you, John.
Okay. You guys, too. Good to have you on there.
Yeah. Thank you.
Have a great
day.
Yeah. Bye.
Okay. Bye. All right. Good morning, Stephen Alexi. You're on Talk Line.
Yeah. Good morning. It's been a while.
Yeah. What's
Domo,
up?
Diane.
Good yes. morning.
Good morning.
Stephen Alexi. Attended DVCT special convention a couple of days ago.
Uh-huh.
And from my point, the whole meeting was scripted.
Oh.
You know.
In what way?
You know, everything was printed already for the executive board to answer its owners, these 56 tribes. And there was two old ladies, mid-60s to early 70s, that sat behind me. And the e-board and the chairman, along with that, the president, probably thought we were fools. These two old ladies proved them wrong. And they would say, this meeting is like a Christmas play. And they would notice that they'd pick up a paper to read off and respond. And we're not fools. I know AVC Pink is probably in a deeper pit than we probably thought it was in. And I won't be surprised if the organization goes under because of mismanagement. AVCP is in trouble. I commend the current leadership for doing everything they can to keep this organization afloat.
Mm-hmm.
But everything has been jeopardized. Expect the worst, you tribes, the 56 tribes of this AVCP. They should expect the worst, but hope for the best.
Yeah.
And to the tribes that are associated with AVCP, your funds are in question. This whole special meeting was a total lie. And if AVCP should falter, the tribes can finally move forward in creating a governance structure for a region and empower these tribes
mm-hmm.
instead of a shady state-chartered non-profit organization such as this organization.
Hmm.
And, you know, I was happy that they responded to the questions that we've been asking, but these questions that were answered weren't the real answers. The current chairman, along with the acting president, with the executive board, they should just come clean to these tribes so they can finally move forward.
Mm.
With what these tribes want, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's time to move forward.
Okay.
If these tribes are listening, consider a governance structure that will be more powerful than what this AVCP is in. So thank you for listening to me.
Thank you for those comments and insights, Stephen.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Again, the numbers here are 5.
This is a pre-recorded edition of TalkLine. Calls are not being accepted at this time. Join TalkLine live Fridays at 10 a.m.
Or you could always email us at radio@kyk.org.
Yeah. You can be anonymous if you need to be. So, Joe, you know, I was thinking about all the different pressures on salmon populations because I read this article in the newspaper about they did testing on salmon in Puget Sound, which is not the salmon that comes up here, and they found traces of all kinds of medications that people take that have gotten into the ocean system, like Tylenol and antidepressants and antibiotics. Not enough, they think, to impact you if you eat that salmon, but it's an indicator that we are stressing the ocean system out quite a bit, and it's showing up in the fish populations. Okay. And so you have that pressure, the pressure of past commercial salmon fishing that really kind of cut back the numbers of salmon that come up here, which used to be almost 500,000 salmon. Now it's less than half of that that has to be regulated in order to, you know, keep some in. And then there could be mining threats if Donlin Gold goes in. I just think that, the use of gill nets now that weren't used a long time ago. So I just think there are enormous pressures on this population of fish that's now where we try to get an escapement of 60,000 to 120,000. And it's, there's a lot of stress with how do you regulate that and how do you protect from problems and the climate change on the ocean conditions, the water temperature maybe that's impacting the fry when it leaves here and gets out to the ocean. Well, so
if you look at the whole spectrum, we do have a call.
Oh, okay, they just came in. Okay, good morning, Mark. This is good morning, Mark. This is Diane. How are you? Welcome to Talkline.
Thank you.
Okay, go ahead.
Calling about the what's been going on with discussion on the Alaska Permanent Fund dividend.
Oh, yeah.
And
catch us up.
The legislation that's going on to limit or reduce or...
like put a cap on it?
Put a cap, and, there's a... a link at Cusco.net about the permanent fund, and it's what do you think? I think and there's several concerns that are listed there that I think it'd be a good way for people to put their concerns, their recommendations. What do you think about what's going on with the permanent fund's plans to reduce or cap in there? So it'd be a way to gauge people's concerns and maybe for a way for our legislators to look at to see what's going on and see what people think about the plans for the permanent fund. Because out here in the region, there's many people living on limited income depend on that, and recommend people go to the Cusco.net, look at that link, and express their concerns on the permanent fund. There's, for example, there's immediate taxation. Concern one that they have there. Number two is importance. How important it is to people, to keep pay their bills. And concern number three, even though they say it's $1,000, that's not the bottom. That's not the cap. It can be lower than that, depending on what goes on in investments and markets. And there's a suggestion there for a gradual phasing, because right now it's from about 2,000 to 1,000, and maybe. Discussion on, going from, maybe, $200 cut to down to 1,000 or up to 1,000.
You mean capping it at 1,000?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But even if it's capped, there's a concern that it can go lower than that. It all depends on investments. I mean, even though they say 1,000, the concern is it might go below that, but.
Right.
I think if people in our region, people in our communities are concerned about there's go to Cusco.net and go to that link and express your concerns.
I'll put that link on the KYUK Talkline Facebook page when I put the link up for this show today.
All right. Well, I wanted to express that. And,
thank you.
I hope we get an opening for fishing. And when you do fish, let's be respectful and courteous and be safe.
So, Mark, how do you feel about the PFD. What's your opinion?
We have a lot of people that depend on that. That's, you know, that that's their major income.
For the year?
I mean, the, you know, the you know, when you live on a limited income, that's, you know, that $2,000 is really, really important.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, for a person with, you know, that's working, maybe it's not as, you know, $2,000 is, wow, I got $2,000, nice to go do something or do that. But for a person that's on limited income, that's, you know, extra fuel, extra food on the table, you know, just things that they need to survive. Yeah.
So you think they should leave it as is, or if they do cap it, keep it at a certain amount, regardless of the stock market?
The fiscal crisis that the state is facing demand that we do something. But if they're going to do that, then I would suggest that they do it gradually.
Yeah.
But it's a tough question, and but you know, you got to look at how people in the region, many families in the region, depend on that dividend fund.
Yeah, that's true. Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, have a good day.
Yeah, this is these are very challenging times because there has to be a way to replace the oil revenue. And how are we going to do that?
Yeah, but that doesn't mean you have to, I mean, you could, you know, take some from the fund, but, you know, I mean, it, if you're going to, you know, there's so many ways that it could be looked at in terms of how, you know, it's generating revenue. They're taking some money operate, you know, to operate the state budget. But, you know, I mean, we have, you know, there's one particular person that caused all this.
The only one?
Yeah, the only one that caused
and
all
not
this.
A legislation that voted with that only one?
Yeah, and, you know, that's
Senate Bill 21.
Yeah, you know, which, it's really sad that someone in a public office can do something like to impact the economy of the state. And we knew it was coming. It's just a matter of when. And
I talked about it. I remember we talked about it on Talkline, even before the vote went. And I think some people from this region voted for it. I'm not, I know. Anyway, it looks like we have another caller, Betsy. Good morning, Betsy. Welcome to Talkline.
Hi, good morning. I just wanted to give a shout-out to Ms. Simeon for her wonderful letter in this week's Delta Discovery, speaking out against Donlin Gold. I think we should all speak out and hopefully get this awful thing shut down before it happens. Thank you. Bye.
Okay, thank you, Betsy. Well, I'm going to check out Delta Discovery.
I forgot to bring my copy.
Yeah. Okay, good.
We had quite a bit going on this past week.
Yeah, and then we have, well, the Democratic Party has selected Hillary Clinton, although it's not quite over yet because superdelegates can't really vote for her, which is what she needs to be the Democratic Party leader, until July 25th. That's when they have the convention, and then superdelegates can officially vote how they want. So Sanders is still in the race right now.
So that's what we're waiting for?
Well, they're not. Well, Clinton's not waiting. I mean, she's going to be.
Oh, she's already declared she won.
Yeah. So.
Well,
but still, it's a historic thing. I mean, that's the first time a woman has been at the top of a major party ticket. Now, there are other parties like the Green Party, who has Dr. Jill Stein is the presidential candidate with the Green Party, which is also a very interesting candidate. But in terms of Republicans and Democrats, this is the first time they've elected a female. So it's I hope she picks a female vice president pick too.
As long as it's not Sarah Palin.
No. Okay, John. Good morning, John. Welcome to Talkline.
Hello.
Hello, John.
You there?
Yeah.
Good yes.
Good morning. You're on the air, John.
Oh, good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah. I heard somebody said good morning to me.
It was not a voice in your head.
I thought I was speaking to the phone.
No, here we go.
Well, anyway, about the permanent fund, you know, that's about like one of the thousands of treaties that white man made with the Indians. It's broken.
You mean...
So permanent fund's not going to be here forever, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You see green, it's on the other side, so you got to go on the other side
Mm-hmm.
Either you cap it or put it in your pocket. What you do?
Yeah.
You know, this how this treaty is permanent. But what I think about is like a white man's treaty.
Okay.
All right, you guys have a good night.
All right, thank you. Okay, so he sees it as sort of a backing down from a commitment made. Valid. But things are so different now with the budget. It's going to be we have to generate income somehow, probably with a personal income tax. Like just about every state in the United States has an income tax, personal state income tax.
Mm-hmm.
And
so where did all the oil companies go? They went to, was it?
Well, no, this is like the international collapse of the oil prices that, mm-hmm.
But
brought it down to...
A lot of them moved to where? Was it Oklahoma? They moved somewhere.
Well, there's a lot of fracking going on, another kind of way of getting oil that produces a lot of earthquakes, can damage water systems. Fracking is a very dangerous... And they're about to start fracking on the Kenai, of all places.
Wow.
So there's a lot going on with that. Anyway, Mr. Robert Hoffman, good morning. You're on Talk Line.
Yeah, good morning, ma'am. I've heard that there may be an opening...
This weekend.
This coming Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Not weekend.
Oh,
Sunday.
No. Yes, thank
Sunday.
You. Thank you for correcting
okay.
me.
Okay. You know, I've been around this region most of my life. I was all religious, majority of my life. And, you know, throughout the visits I've been through, I've hunted in many, many of these villages, 75% or more. And on Sunday, we rest. That was the way it used to be a long time ago. Sunday is a day of Sabbath. We rest on Sunday. We don't work. It used to be that way. But now we're even told we got to fish on Sunday. We have to. We can't stay home. We got to go. Even when we not feel like we should, we still have to. Because we're told. Why didn't they have it on Saturday or a Monday?
Yeah.
Now we're forced. We're forced from what we never used to do long time ago. We're forced to do it today. We have to fish when we're told, and even if it's on a Sabbath day, we gotta fish and work. I just feel bad about the way it used to be and hearing the way I grew up and from all the regional people of our people, how it used to be and how we're forced to change. We're forced to fish on a day of rest, a day of prayer.
Mm.
Why don't they, just because they get a check all the time, them guys, they get their monthly check, they don't care what goes on with us people over here. I don't know.
Yeah.
And another thing, this Donlin gold mine, I keep hearing about cutting and state and cutting this and cutting that, cutting permanent fund and cutting Social Security benefits. I hear them cutting, holy cow, they're cutting so much and ordering and telling us, and we can't say no to anything they tell us. You know, this permanent fund is the only thing they got left, this Donlin gold. That's the only thing they got left. They got nothing else. They take away everything.
Mm.
How come these people don't stand up and talk about that? They got... We do what we're told to do on this earth. We used to think this was our land. It's not nothing like that, seems to me.
Mm-hmm.
We told when to fish. We told when to hunt. We told how much to catch. We told when to cut, stop.
Mm-hmm.
Holy cow. Them guys, they come from places where they got no jobs and come around here and be boss. It saddens me to hear and see that in my life. Okay, that's all. Thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Well, Mr. Hoffman, I really respect his remarks because I think there's kind of a sense of loss in a very deep way.
Well,
in terms of life. And
you take everything he said, it's everything's starting to add up, like I've been saying, at certain points, that
mm-hmm.
when's enough enough? you know, it's time to stand. It's
yeah.
We gotta, you know, we gotta be heard somehow, some way.
And then how do we bring that together with the changing conditions in terms mm-hmm. of the earth and the environment?
Well,
that ways of living may not be as possible because of the kind of climate and environmental changes that mm-hmm. are going on. I mean,
they're fishing everywhere else in the state.
Oh, in the state of, well, because they have larger numbers of mm-hmm. fish coming in. I mean, it's different.
You know, when they had that fishing meeting, somebody brought up the fact that, you know, that high seas fishing had, they were collecting a certain percentage. And out of that certain percentage, they didn't detect what's male and female. So how do we know how much female we're losing in that bycatch?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's so many causes and effect when something like that occurs. And, you know, it's too sad to see that there's no regulation out there in terms of the high seas fishing. I was told it's international waters and, you know, they need to do better regulation out there in terms of. Of course, they're being monitored, but how do we know those monitors are telling the truth? We don't mm-hmm. know that.
Okay. Oh, hey, thank you, John Nick, coming back for round two.
Hey,
hello, John.
Hi, how you doing? Listening about the what you call that permanent fund dividend program.
Yeah.
And how the governors they're trying to take our money. Well. They should, the board of the permanent fund should get together and then propose that they borrow the money, not take it, borrow it, and then pay it on payments. Because I'm looking forward to when all the marijuana taxes start coming through, they're going to have a heck of a lot of money over there over the marijuana issues, because the whole state of Alaska seems to be getting back into the pot business. So you got to pay excess taxes over there. Mm-hmm. And they're going to have a lot of tax money. Look at Colorado and Denver. They had so much money there they distributed for health reasons. They helped the community and did healthy programs for that. They can borrow that money and stipulate and pay it back instead of milking it out of us shareholders. The way it should have been was they should have went before the voters before they did that, not the legislator. It's not the legislator's money. It's our money. It's the people's money that just belongs to. They should forward and vote on that instead of just, okay, we're going to dip it out now, and we're going to leave it as it is. You know, they should pay that money back. You know, they're going to have so much money on taxes alone on mayor business. I foresee that, you know, it'll accumulate, and they can pay that back in payments or so.
Yeah.
So that's one of my ideas. And as for Donlin, they ought to go back to the old prospecting days where you can have excursion trips up there, hotel chains here, hotel chains up there, no impact to the environment because it'd be closely monitored.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of my ideas. I don't see why they never mention that other things, healthy ways, you know. All you hear is pollution, pollution, pollution. And all the history of mining has been polluted, especially the one that Barrick, the one that's taken over this region here. They have a bad record of mining procedures.
Mm-hmm.
So that's yeah. all I wanted to say. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah. Bye.
Yeah. So some big decisions about how to handle this crisis of the budget. For the mm-hmm. state.
Well, you know, it's considering what's going on and, you know, how it's impacting, we're going to see the impacts like they stated that were going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, there's got to be ways to come up with all these solutions to the problems in terms of, you know, I mean, John made a good point where, why can't they borrow the money and just pay it back,
mm-hmm.
you know? Thing with marijuana is coming up. And
Colorado, they have so much money in taxes from marijuana
uh-huh.
to fund their schools. I mean, it's amazing. They are thinking of rebates back to people with a lot of the, kind of like a PFD. It's,
are you serious?
Yes, it's really fascinating. I mean, they have really generated enormous amounts of income.
Considering that we haven't really seen the revenue in terms of collecting taxes on the marijuana.
Not yet.
Not yet,
no.
But I'm sure that should help, right?
City of Bethel, think about it. All right, we have a call from Anonymous. Welcome to Talk Line, Anonymous. You're on the air.
Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Last week, the world heard some bad news from the greatest heavyweight champion of the world. Mm-hmm. In 1964, I had to go pay 75 cents to go watch double feature, and before that they had Cassius Marcellus Clay, who shook the world and knocked out Sonny Liston. And then my language and life got better, you know, because of him. And then I used to be a quiet kid, and after I saw Cassius Marcellus Clay, that was his name then, and then my language got better. I wasn't afraid of white people no more, because they suppressed us, you know, them days.
Yeah.
And then and I idolized that man, and I took it to the basketball court, and I used these kind of tactics. And there was one person in the Bethel Warriors who is a Warriors warrior. His name is Joe Transom. I dedicated all my basketball games to him.
Huh.
Everyone quietly. And I don't know how he died, but I walked up to him. One came after the Nanux, and I told him that I'd like to be just like you in basketball. And then he said that you got to be better than me.
Hmm.
And then maybe we could be silent for 3 seconds in remembrance of one Joe Transom. Okay?
Sure, we'll do that now.
Thank you.
Thank you for your call.
Bye.
Wow, that's a beautiful story he told. Okay, so, yeah, Muhammad Ali died recently.
Yeah, he was, had a great impact on a lot of people.
Yeah. I was young, but I
remember. How old were you?
I don't know how old. I don't know, you know, what, late 60s, early 70s. I was 9, 10 years old. I'm 57 now, so anyone can do the math if they want. But I remember really admiring him and kind of being in awe, you know, of watching him on TV and rooting for him. And I was a swimmer at the time, now that I remember it. And I remember thinking about him, like I'd imagine him swimming in the lane next to me,
uh-huh.
and I'd be racing him in my mind when I would go to swim workouts. And so it was just kind of, I remember doing that. And then I remember realizing, I bet I could beat him. I bet I could beat the world heavyweight champion boxer in swimming, because I didn't know if he knew how to swim even. So there you go. So
yeah,
my teammates and I, we used to select people like that. Go, oh, I bet we could beat that person. So.
Again, the numbers here.
This is a pre-recorded edition of TalkLine. Calls are not being accepted at this time. Join TalkLine live Fridays at 10 a.m.
Or you could always email us at radio@kyk.org.
Okay, we have a call from James Nicarai. Good morning, James. Welcome to TalkLine.
Good morning. I'm at talk on the permanent fund.
Yes.
I think I've been thinking about that for a long time, since the legislature wanted to dip into it. And I think that that's going to be a big mistake if we allow them to take a few dollars, as they say, from the permanent fund, and if they are allowed to take some money out of, they're gonna do it every year till that permanent fund is depleted. It was made for the people.
Mm-hmm.
When Hammond put it into motion, and if I am correct, I think there was a clause in there that it was not supposed to be taken out to use by the state to put it into their bills and things that they create.
Mm-hmm.
I think there was a clause in there that said that. And lots of people that are not working use that to purchase their snow machines and their four wheels to use it for subsistence and outboard motors. And if there is a limit to it, that's going to take away lots of from the people. And if they are going to take some money out of it, why don't they extend that residency? Right now it's only 1 year.
Oh, yeah, extend it a couple of years before you can start actually getting the PFD.
Maybe 5 years.
Good point. Okay.
Extend it 5 years so people that come in won't be dip into it as soon as they come in.
Mm-hmm. Because with there's such a high turnover that you'd actually probably save a lot of PFD funds because there's people who come, especially out here in Bethel, who do not stay here 5 years, right?
Okay. Yeah. Even in Anchorage, if you go over there and go to the store, people that are working hardly understand you when you're trying to explain to them what you want. And they're not from the state.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many people that come in stay for a few years and then they go away. And they don't employ people from the state of Alaska. Most of those people working are from the foreign country. Come here for a few years, then go away after they dip into our permanent fund.
Mm-hmm.
So that has been my thoughts for what they've been talking about.
I think that's interesting, James. Thank you.
Okay, thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
That would make a difference.
Yeah, yeah.
Changing the requirements for residency.
Right, you wouldn't have as many people coming in and getting... Now... I don't think people come here for the dividend, for the PFD, because that means you're coming here for an extra $1,000 a month. Well, maybe more if you have a family. But but it could save some. But I still think they're going to have to think about a tax increase of some kind.
They have to do something, I mean.
Yeah. So we have an email. Geraldine's going to read for us. Thank you, Geraldine.
Yep, this is an anonymous email. It says, concerning the PFD, if the state does go through with reducing the PFD, the way the STIP projects are selected needs to be changed. Right now, priority is primarily based on population as a result of most projects are in Anchorage, Fairbanks, Juneau, Matsu Valley, and Kenai Peninsula. More equitable selection criteria needs to be imposed since the PFD money belongs to all Alaskans. The residency requirement to be eligible for the PFD should be changed to a much longer term, maybe 5-10 years. Then we know the person is vested in Alaska. The state should be recovering money from all the resources and income that leaves the state without benefiting the state. There are many oil workers from out of state. Many of the commercial fishermen that earn big money are from out of state. Oil companies are from out of state and out of country. timber companies are from out of state and out of country. There's a ton of money leaving the state without benefiting the state, and here the residents that live paycheck to paycheck end up being responsible.
Okay, that's a really good email. Good ideas, and add mining interests, like also money will be leaving the state and going to another country.
You know, a lot of this stuff is starting to add up. All these companies that come here to make their fortune.
Yeah.
It doesn't stay here. They just, for the people, the ones that do stay here are the ones that, you know, live in Alaska, looking for work in Alaska and know, try to make a living like everybody else. But, you know, I mean.
Yeah, so this is, you know, these are tough decisions, and it's good to be talking about them and to also really talk with the politicians, with our representatives in the legislature, and what do they have to say about these kind of decisions that they're faced with and will be faced with more in the future. And we're coming into another political season in the House District 38.
Finally somebody running.
We have Bob Heron and Zach Vansler are running for that seat. And I think these are good questions to put to both of them.
Yeah.
In the upcoming election season.
When Zach called and told us he was running, and he specifically said, for the people, we the people, that kind of gave you a little bit of an idea of what his focus is.
I know, but a lot of politicians say that.
Well, good thing you're not a politician.
I'm not a politician. I can be.
So how long have you been in Alaska?
19 years? Only out here, though. I mean, I'm here. And I lived a little bit in Queethluk, which I loved. So I think I would make the cutoff that the caller and the emailer suggested. 5 to 10 years, okay. I'm here that long.
I think 5 years is a...
I think 5 years is a good one, yeah.
It's a good one. I mean, like the person said, they'd... You know, be committed.
Yeah. So, okay, well, good morning, Bertha. Welcome to the show.
Hi, this is Bertha from WIC. I'm calling to let people know that the WIC office is closed today, all day today.
It is, okay. Is it a holiday?
No, it's not a holiday. We are closed because we need to catch up with work.
Oh, I see. Okay, one of those kind of days. You guys just need to get it done.
Yes.
Good. Okay.
Thank you.
WIC offices are closed today.
But we will reopen regular business hours Monday.
Okay, good.
8 a.m. Thank you.
All right.
Bye.
Yes, the number, Sheriff.
This is a pre-recorded edition of Talkline. Calls are not being accepted at this time. Join Talkline live Fridays at 10 a.m.
You could always email us at radio@kyk.org.
Yeah. Now, if there's an opening this weekend, however long
I
it
think is, they should have it on Saturday, like Robert said.
I know. Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, his point of view is like we're starting to be told what to do and we have to do what everybody says.
Mm-hmm.
That's not necessarily true until we make a stand and say enough no more.
Yeah, but I think it's just really tough because there aren't as many salmon as there used to be. And you can crash the population. I mean, it's really tricky. I mean, you wouldn't want people to go out on Sunday and try to just catch as many as they can just to do that. You know, people would have to, you know, try to take just what they need. And
that's how it's always been done.
Yeah. No, I know. But
we're not greedy. We're not hoarders. We're not trying to destroy something that we love to eat every summer.
Oh, I don't think anybody's thinking of doing that. No.
No, they never have.
No.
You know, I mean.
But these population drops are really serious.
They are, but you know, they set a quota for escapement and.
Well, you know, and I've mentioned before, up in New England, they used to have salmon runs in all the rivers and creeks up there coming in from the Atlantic. No more. Not a single salmon, and it can happen. So, all right, we have a couple of calls lined up. Marcy, good morning. Welcome to Talkline.
Good morning.
You're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
First of all, there's something I would like to say in our language before I, because I think some people might get people to thinking about what I am about to say.
Please.
First of all, Buyukhatni from Rematan. Good. Fish Casco Fishery Management Group, but Tamanaukna Kan Atajm Kanot Suyaka Sandimi, Suku Ilight, Dasa in Sali Yumit Duniluk Aukna Ukrook Snipit Suku Papalus Samtauna. Pastak shot of Komta in line Chamu Dungin and Kan in Ledut. Charlie Still, Unachal Efraluku, Aguna, Beverly Hafnuk, North Pacific Fisheries Management Group, but in Akshina, I Snilun Kanshuk, leading Ali Haluni Dagunun, now it's 2020 something. I still bunch worked good illa got out area the money in Modulit looks to it like be starting Sam not. Tama could be that until nothing big dot gate of Kanfalum Chali acute and Sakni Luki channel at Hulukaknun Yukun Tama Kuchalat Hulukani Luki. Kanskumaya Kukutai, Paisukusu Nichunil Kanon, Kanfutal Huluku Ayachskuni Asafiriak. But getting back to during the last meeting at the Fish and Wildlife, there was one person that said something about fishing on Sunday and brought it to the table that there are people that would like to respect their beliefs. That Sunday's a day of rest. Bob Bellush brought that up, and there wasn't any more discussion about that afterwards, but it was brought forth. Another thing that I wanted to mention is that Beverly Hoffman is one of the group for the North Pacific Fisheries Management Group, and the ones that also discuss fisheries within the area, and it was going down for some. I think that she said maybe on the 20th. I didn't get the exact date, but it was either I think this month. But it would be good if she can call in and let people know about that meeting, and that maybe some people might get people to thinking about some things that she can bring down to that meeting. And I'm inviting her to call in and give us a little bit more detail about what that meeting is, and also discuss something about the monies that are available from that management group that can be used somehow out here. So, Beverly, if you can call in and give us a little bit more light on this, that would give us more information that's needed. Good morning, bye.
All right, thank you, Marcy. Okay, good, thanks. Sophie, good morning, you're on Talkline.
Good morning, I would like to thank all those people that I was listening to. It's the only place we learn something and wake up a little bit from someone talking. But, you know, I have a lot of comments from A to Z, but I'll just say a few of them. Mm-hmm. First of all, I would like to thank Bob Aloysius for being the right arm elder wisdom that was on TKC board, but now he's not there anymore. For what you did, Bob Aloysius, thank you for everything and being the right arm for TKC. All the wisdom that you have will be missed, and I'm glad you teach the younger TKC board members. Even though we didn't have high school graduation, this and that, and college stuff, we as elders have the wisdom to give a little advice to our younger generation. Thank you very much. And the other thing, I very, very much miss all of those three late right arm for YKHC and ABCP. They were the right arm for being on the board. That's late, already happened. And Joe Lomac and Paula John, they kept YKHC and ABCP straight, even though they didn't have high school education and college education. They were just like, you know, just like they had education.
Yeah.
You know, what wisdom they had, and I still miss them today as an advisor for the board that they were in. And I also miss the ones that were for TKC, the elders, which is late Nixie Milk and Glenn Tony Fredericks. They're the ones that put up this TKC and KNA, but now that they're gone, KNA's gone too. I hear that it's fallen down and they have no more KNA. But anyways, those are the good memories I had about our right arm. They were just like right arm sergeant at arms, even though mm-hmm. they didn't have no education.
Mm.
But anyways, I would like to say that I guess you talk about anything on
mm-hmm.
both Yuktuyuk and English talk show. I don't know what's wrong. I don't know what's wrong with, you know, it upsets me when my upriver area villages, I don't know what's wrong with them, but, you know, when a school board run that is a non-native, right now he or she win. And we let our younger generation that are going to school and save every penny that they have to become this and that when they come back from college. But when they come back, where do they go? They apply for a job, whatever education and learning things that they go to school for.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of upset with my Crossbrook School Board members because our young Native people, they go to school and work hard, pay for every penny, save every penny that they get to go for teachers, whatever that they go for.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? When they come back, they apply for this and that. I don't care if my school board, Cusbuck school board members put a BS on me or harass me for what I'm saying. When a Native student that come back and finish their college, who do they hire as teacher for these upriver villages? they hire nothing but outstate people that are not local. What's wrong with them? What's wrong with our students? My daughter, I'm using my daughter for an example.
Okay, and then, Sophie, we're going to there's other calls lining up. So go ahead and finish your point, though.
Okay, but my school board members, they never hired my daughter. So she's working in, I don't know, because my school board members never hire her. Thank you for listening to me.
Okay. Okay, well, thank you, Sophie, for calling. I'm glad she called in. Okay, we have Fritz. Good morning, Fritz. You're on Talk Line.
Good morning, Diane.
How are you?
Good, good. How are you doing, Joe?
I'm doing good.
Great. So, a couple of things. Yeah, there's going to be possibly a fishing by Sunday. I don't agree. If they do open it by Sunday, I personally don't have a problem with it. Out in the villages, yeah, it might be a big problem, but here, I don't have a problem with it. It's pretty much, I guess, self-explanatory, you know, people that work, Tuesday through Saturday, it's, we have to go fishing, you know. If it's going to be open on Sunday, I'll go fishing by all means. If I have everything, boat, motor, net, and, you know, what's the big fuss about it, you know? It's the Board of Fish made this proposal last winter, and this is going to be the implementation. It's going to be the law not to fish no later than June 11. So from now on, 3 more years after this, people can fish after June 11, whether it be on a Sunday, Saturday. So there's that. Any questions before I go on?
Well, you know, I mean, everybody has their own perspective, but a Sunday's a Sunday. You know that. You've been there. You've done it. You understand where people are coming from. But, you know, some of us like you and I won't have a problem, but I would because I'd be working. That's my problem. Most people have Saturday, Sunday off. And but, you know, and when they do open it, it's going to be like 6 hours. So you don't have much time if you're working. You follow me, Fritz?
Well, we don't know if it's going to be 6 hours, 12 hours, 24 hours.
Irregardless of the hours, some of us have to work.
Yeah, but this is modern-day life now.
Yeah, that's true.
We're going to be told when and when not to fish, just like commercial fishing, and it's going spiraling downhill, and there is so much a local area people can take so much. What if they're going to restrict it more next year? Then what? They're going to restrict us from setting our nets for a whole month? Watch, let them try that and see what we do. We the people of our area out here. There's only 212, if I'm not mistaken. There's only 207 wildlife protection officers. Only. And how many people are out here? Thousands and thousands and thousands. I'm not making any ideas out there, but I'm just throwing it out there. Now, that being said, away from the fishing deal, this city landfill. Oh. Everybody's having a... Yeah?
No, I was responding. I was just kind of... Yes, I was kind of agreeing with you. Go ahead.
Yeah, the city landfill, what is this city manager doing?
What's going on?
My personal opinion about this, we are recycling. And then for this city manager to come up from Georgia to say that the public is stealing from the landfill if we're salvaging parts, good usable parts, and for her saying that we're stealing from the city and they will be prosecuted by law.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah, if we're caught taking parts from the landfill, the cops are going to be called, Bethel PD, and we could be prosecuted.
I did not know that once you put something in the landfill, it is the possession, your trash is the possession of the city, basically. I didn't know that. That's interesting.
It does not make sense.
Huh. That's all.
It's up to the city council this past Tuesday, and there is no memo out yet to reopen it to the public, because we are recycling, and we've been doing this ever since we got this landfill.
Mm-hmm.
And why now?
Mm-hmm.
Why start stealing from the city? Oh, no. What's the city going to do? What's the city council going to do? I have the utmost respect for the city council, but the way they are running this town, the city manager is an at-will employee. Well, to an extent, she has a contract. That
yeah.
No matter what she does, she is going to get a raise.
Yeah. So, okay, well, that's kind of I didn't know about that. I'm going to have to learn a little more about that. I haven't gone picking around the landfill myself, but I think there's things.
One man's trash is somebody else's treasure.
Well, you know, people dump a lot of stuff there, like appliances and all kinds of things that could be.
Yeah, really good parts.
Yeah, there could be parts
and bucks and
exactly
chrome plated. rims for tires, brand new tires.
Well, it sounds like Fritz kind of knows his way around the landfill.
Well,
oh yeah, I've been there, and Joe's been there before they closed it down. And
you forgot to add that city employees help themselves.
Maybe
I don't know.
I don't know about that.
Okay. So we should probably wrap it up, Fritz. But thank you.
Okay.
Thank you for calling.
Yep.
Okay. So Geraldine's going to read an email real quick, and then Alan is next up on the call.
Yep, this is an anonymous email. It said, when I was growing up in Bethel, there was many local native cab drivers. Now there are none. Maybe a representative from each cab company can call and explain why they don't hire local drivers, but instead import drivers from other countries to perform a very basic job, a job that apparently pays so well that drivers can afford Mercedes and McMansion houses. Do they have something to hide?
Oh, okay. Well, that's interesting. The cab companies are primarily staffed by different populations from outside the area. Yeah. I don't know what that's interesting. All right. So, Alan, good morning. You're on Talk Line.
Yeah, good morning. A couple of things here. 250 years ago, did they subsistence fish 7 days a week? Did they even know what a Sunday was? Joe, did you know what Sunday was 250 years ago?
I wasn't born then.
Well, did anybody?
Before
there's no calendar from back then?
Before missionaries, was there something called Sunday? That'd be interesting.
Oh,
I mean,
there was?
No, I'm saying, I'm going along with you. I mean, before missionaries.
Right. There was no Sunday. They didn't know what Sunday was out here 250 years ago. But they still went out fishing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what's the day of the week got to do with anything? They didn't know what religion was until White Pearson came here.
Happened? I don't know what just
one
happened.
One more thing on this PFD thing. I think before they raise any income taxes, they should do the PFD, because that way everybody has skin in the game. Why should the people of Bethel pay for a school in Queesluck? How many people in Quetzalcoatl have jobs? How about 95% of unemployed don't have jobs?
People in Bethel don't pay for the school in Quetzalcoatl. It's the state of Alaska that funds all education all throughout
if
the state.
If they want an income tax, though, that will come from the people of Bethel. The people in Quetzalcoatl don't have jobs. They're not going to have an income tax.
Well, that's how it works in all states. If people have income, they're taxed. If not, they're not. Like our national taxes.
But not all states have PFDs.
Okay.
Do they? Name another state that has a PFD.
I don't know. I don't know anything about that. No.
Well, okay. No. If they're going to tax, let's do a PFD thing first. That way everybody has skin in the game.
Okay, gotcha. That's true.
Because we the people in Bethel with an income tax should not have to pay for a school in Quetzalcoatl.
Hmm. Okay.
Let the people of Quetzalcoatl pay for that school.
Okay.
And they do that with the PFD.
Well, it's the state of Alaska, not towns, but okay. I get your basic point, though.
Well, the budget's going to come from the PFD.
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
So.
Okay.
Well, okay, bye.
All right. Sunday and paying for schools. All right. Gregory, you're on Talkline. Good morning. Thank you for calling.
Yes, yes. Good morning.
Good morning.
Amidst all the concerns surrounding all the communities up and down the river, I am totally grateful no one has made an effort to repair the leaks up in them clouds. We got rain! Yoo-hoo! Okay, well, thank y'all for the smiles. Everyone be safe and be warm.
Thank you, Gregory. Nobody has repaired the leaks in the clouds. I kind of like that.
I was hoping that guy
from poetic.
Fish and Game would call. Because, we asked him to, but I haven't heard from him.
About what?
He was, they had this meeting and they're supposed to make an announcement, but he said he'd call us, try to give us a call on...
On Talkline to announce, that's right, to announce what the opening conditions would be this weekend. Hmm. All right.
Yeah, but, the number's here to give us a call.
This is a pre-recorded edition of Talkline. Calls are not being accepted at this time. Join Talkline live Fridays at 10 a.m.
Or you could always email us at radio@kyk.org.
Okay. So we've kind of covered some things about salmon, who drives the taxis, who gets hired, what are the some of the pressures that are on salmon
populations.
I drove
cab for 2 years, and that was good enough.
Oh, was it? Okay.
I mean, back then it was a little different. You made some good money back then.
Uh-huh.
I
think they make good money now.
Not really.
Oh, really?
No. Why do you think they're doing that extra activities on the side, the ones that could and thought they would get away with it if they had a chance?
Uh-huh.
Like I said, there was a lot going on this week. We had the...
Oh, right. The arrests?
Yeah, we had the investigation into illegal sales of alcohol and...
Mm-hmm.
It didn't say anything about drugs, but it talked about alcohol, illegal bootlegging, and extra activities going on.
See, I think there's
under a business name.
Yeah, so. I think there's there's investigations going on we don't realize often.
Which is
anyway,
good.
We have Bev who has answered the call to call in. Good morning, Bev. Welcome to Talkline.
Hi. Good morning, JoJo, and good morning, you guys. Diane, thank you. I heard Marcy talk about it. It's not the North Pacific Council.
Mm-hmm.
I'm on an advisory. It's five states. It's called the Pacific States Marine Fisheries Commission. And I'm not one of the commissioners. Again, it's just an advisory group. But the interesting thing about this group is that the emergency monies for the failed commercial fishery in this region went through them. And to me, it just seems like we have a subsistence disaster going on the last 5 years because of high seas fishing, more pressure in river, bigger boats, bigger nets, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
But this group, it's very interesting because it's made of Washington, Oregon, Idaho, California, and Alaska. And I'm one of the folks that advise to our commissioner. So anyway, I brought it up at the meeting, like Marcy said, because the Alaskan group is going to meet in Anchorage before the fall annual meeting of this group. The thing that bothers me about this group is that it's made up of trawlers and commercial fisheries, and I'm one of the only ones that that are from rural Alaska to start with anymore, and have Yupik blood in me, and most everybody there is not native or not. Like, I was wondering, why isn't Washington Indian tribes, you know, some of the tribes there, why aren't they on it? Oregon mm-hmm. tribes. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I'm getting away from myself here. I've sat on it for a couple of years, and so I'm going to take our subsistence concerns there, our concerns, again, about bycatch, even though we all know great strides have been made to redo. They can no longer throw over Kings, Chinook, regardless of where they're going, Yukon or Kuskokwim, over when they're trawling, and the cap has reduced immensely. And
what do they do with the bycatch then?
That's the thing, is that they bring it to, they fly it into areas like in Washington and maybe even Alaska now to the city, and I'll find out more and I'll report back mm-hmm. to you about that. They can't throw it away. Somebody had a good idea on the show yesterday to make them have freezers or get them to rural Alaskans where we're so affected by things. So mm-hmm. that came up on the talk show yesterday. And so I'm going to take our concerns here about trawlers, bycatch, co-management concerns, that we really want that. So I hear people, you know, bad-mouthing the working group, and maybe I shouldn't sit on it. But, you know, there are good people sitting on that working group that spend, like, I think I've been on it for 15, 16 years, hours, along with James Charles, Bob Aloysius. And, you know, we want to take our concerns and bring them forward. Are we frustrated with the department? Yes, but we also I've learned a lot. I've subsistence fished here for 25 years before I got on this, so that's been another 40 years, you know, another 15 years. For 40 years, I've been subsistence first, mm-hmm. always. And nothing that I do focuses on salmon in my business or in my actions at the working group. So, you know, when I hear people when I hear that people are talking about the working group and it should be dissolved, or Bev Hoffman shouldn't sit on it because she has sports interests, that to me is like really disrespectful, and that they don't really know how hard myself and other people on the working group how hard we've worked to try and bring the attention of declining salmons and high seas trawlers. And there's so much that we all need to learn. And I'm so glad Marcy came to that meeting, because it's important that people tune in and pay attention to the numbers. And like you said earlier, on the East Coast, those people fished out their rivers. Mm-hmm. And we don't want to do that, but yet we want to have a voice. And I'm really happy for this intertribal commission and the MOU with Fish and Wildlife, and we want the same thing with Fish and Game. You know, I just, and we want those people to live here. you know, so that every year, every summer, I don't have to relearn all their names, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just, there's good people out there working, both the state and the feds, but there's good people that were born and raised here on this river, way upriver to the mouth. Commercial fishers, people that are involved in processing, sports fisher, elders, subsistence, and just I welcome people to, you know, participate. But yeah, I'm going to Anchorage for a one-day meeting with this Alaska group about the Pacific States marine fisheries, and I encourage people just to, you know, drop me a line or stop me at the store or whatever, because I am going to take our concerns forward to them. Okay, that's a mouthful, isn't it?
It's really appreciated, though.
And I was kind of venting a little bit. I'm sorry. I'm really looking forward to getting fish on the rack just like everyone else. We're going to take less and concentrate on reds and Tom and Silvers, we're so blessed out here, and you guys have a good day.
All right. Thank you, Bev. Thank you for calling in and explaining more.
Okay. Bye-bye.
All right. We have Tom from Chulista. Good morning, Tom. You're on Talk Line.
Good morning, Diane and Georgia. How are you two doing?
Good, good. Thank you for waiting online.
I'm taking...
Yeah, no worries.
Go ahead, Tom.
No, Joe.
Yeah, I was going to tell you the day I got my... my voting stuff in the mail, I filled it out, sent it back, and I was like you, hoping I win something.
Great. Well, I'm glad that you said, did you do it online or did you mail it in?
I mailed it in. I didn't have time to do it online because I was right in the middle of transition, and I figured, you know, it's right here in my hand. Why not fill it out and send it in?
Fantastic. Well, you know what? By mailing it in this early, chances are that you qualify for the early bird prize. The vote just has to get to the Inspector of Elections by June 21st. So that means by mailing it in, you'll have two prize categories that you qualify for, the early bird and the regular proxy prizes.
I've been doing this.
So that was actually one of the things.
Go ahead. No, I said I was going to tell you I've been doing this since I became a shareholder and started voting.
Yeah, me too. I've been voting for, well, as long as I could remember. I'm an original shareholder, but I was 2 months old when INCSCA passed, so I probably wasn't voting then. I think my parents were probably voting for me. But yeah, so I just wanted to call and remind and encourage shareholders, please make sure you vote. On average, only 50.07% of shareholders actually vote, so we're very close to not meeting quorum. Please mail or vote online. Send in those votes. They do count. They do matter. We have one extra category this year, Chulista Voting Week. It's online only. So next Monday through Friday, June 13 to 17, if you vote online and you can re-vote, so for example, Joe, if you have extra time, you can cast your votes again online. If you vote online between Monday through Friday, then you will have four chances of winning, four categories that you could qualify for.
Okay.
Yeah, but overall, there are 52 different cash prizes. There are 7 for that are online specific and 45 that are online or for people who mail it in.
Okay.
All right,
thank you.
And I had a message. There was a question for me earlier in the show.
Oh, was there? Yeah, I don't remember.
Yeah, there was. I just don't remember what it was.
Okay. I know. Well, I usually take notes too.
Yeah, no worries. Well, I'll be listening to the rest of the broadcast. If I hear it come up and I have the opportunity, I'll call back in.
All right. Thank you for doing that. All right. Good.
Take care, all. Remember, trustofvote.com. Go vote.
Yeah, it does make a difference.
Yeah. Okay.
It does. All right. Take care.
All right. Bye. I'm glad he's willing to call in. because people do often have questions or comments about Calista. So thank you, Tom, for that. John Carter. Good morning, John Carter. You're on Talk Line.
Yes, good morning. This is John Carter. I'm calling from Eek, Alaska.
Yes.
Yes, I'd like to talk just a bit about PFD or permanent fund. It's a household word.
Mm-hmm.
This has been going on for quite some time. As a matter of fact, ever since the state of Alaska has experienced deficit problem. The legislature talked about it even in special session, but no go. Overriding permanent fund may not happen, overriding it. The precept and strategic plans were discussed by the people down at Juno, representative senators. Did it stop there? It did not stop. Those plans discussed were passed on to the board. The board accepts or not. The board, permanent fund has its own board.
Hmm.
If the representatives and senators were talking about one thing, it would not because it was a permanent fund, not the earning. So Stuggy put the funds in. It may be saving a checking account into the bank somewhere while there the interests are gained or earnings. The earning part was the only part the board has accepted to pay for the government operation, and it'll go on for a period of 3 to 4 years. At the end of those years, it will be no more. It'll be all gone.
Hmm.
People were talking about $1,000. It is after the fact. The remaining amount of the amount of 30% would be distributed to recipients. I can recall one time. I think maybe it was Mr. Governor or the Governor Murkowski, when the state of Alaska was going through the same thing. Anwar was in question for opening up for more gas and oil. He said no can do, but the state of Alaska has other fund generating resources to develop. That was the end of it. In actuality, the permanent fund earnings cannot be used, but the actual amount cannot. Those have to be negotiated in some other kind of way. Thank you, Lama.
Okay. Wow. It's like John's kind of paying attention. All right. Thank you, John. Anonymous, you're on Talk Line. Good morning.
I was wondering, I don't know if the whole Bush Alaska is like Southwest, but, you know, is Southwest Alaska part of America?
And
I don't know, just everything out here seems kind of backwards. The law enforcement, district attorneys, and even public assistance, man. It's like, I don't know, it's kind of, you go over to Anchorage and it's a 180 over there compared to out here.
Hmm.
I mean, everything.
Oh, okay. You just think that out here. Yeah, okay. Well, all right. Thank you, caller. All right, we have another call from Martha. Good morning, Martha. You're on Talk Line.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I want to talk for the indigenous people,
mm-hmm.
who we are. And our Creator gave us this right to, you know, fish and hunt, live off the land.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to kind of make a suggestion. I know it makes us think any old way sometimes, but I want to make a suggestion for the fish group who work, you know,
mm-hmm.
and on when we should fish and when we should not. I'd like to beg the fishing fathers that be to let us indigenous people fish at least 4 days a week in June, beginning from the first week until the end. I'm asking for only 4 days a week, not, you know, not 31 days, so that we can hang our fish before the flies come and while the weather's a good drying time. And 4 days a week in June would be awesome, even if it's not like 6 days a week. I'd like to put that out on as a, you know, something to think about instead of just restricting us so badly, because there's so many families that need this fish, and they don't have, like I always say, they don't have bank accounts that, you know, fat bank accounts. But I'm just talking for my people, and I want to thank the elders program for bringing fish to me the other day, king salmon, and I shared it with my friends, and because our tradition is to share the first catch, and I just want to voice out my gratefulness to the elders program, Guyana Technica, and give us 4 days a week to fish in June. Please. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you for calling. Bye. We have Mary next. Welcome to Talkline, Mary.
Good morning. I have several issues and several questions.
Okay.
Yesterday was the day.
Oh, and we only have a few minutes, Mary. I'm sorry. I just noticed the time. Go ahead.
Yesterday was the day that people in Alaska could start buying marijuana.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know if it's happened in Bethel, but everyone thinks that marijuana is a safe drug. But like I keep saying, it's not a safe drug, because people who try to get high on marijuana, they take other stuff to make their high STC higher, to get a better high. But it's a very, very harmful drug, because when people are intoxicated with marijuana, they end up doing a lot of the things that they're not supposed to do. Domestic violence, child abuse, sexual assault, stealing, abuse of everyone around them. And I, to this day, I still cannot see why the mayor of Bethel, who also is a mental health worker, mm-hmm. I mean, like, of all things, there's many ways to make money for the city of Bethel other than alcohol and drugs. And surely he knows that those things are big problems in Bethel. And and I'm so glad that Zach is running against Bob Heron, because I noticed that Bob Heron, he's so smug, and whenever we text him or send our comments, he doesn't even bring them up. And whatever he says to us is always different from what he does during the sessions. So I would urge everyone in Bethel and the area to please vote for Zach. We need change. We need somebody who's active. And I do know Zach, and he really cares about the Bethel and the region. And
okay,
so,
thank you very much, Mary. Kriana. I have to kind of move along. All right, thank you. I'm not sure, Geraldine, do we have time for one more call? Oh, I'm sorry, Wassily. Please call back next week. We have to wrap it up. That's another edition of Talkline.
Yes,
the recording will be tonight, 7 to 8:30, and mm-hmm. on the KYUK Talkline Facebook page.
If you're gonna go out, have a plan. Please wear your PFD, and yes, please don't drink and drive.
No, do not. Okay, thank you. Have a good day.
Thank you.
Listening to Talkline. The comments, points of view, and opinions made are not those of Bethel Broadcasting staff, management, or board of directors.